Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top of the morning and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's Thursday, July 18th, 2019. Danny's vacation in the Outer Banks continues. He'll be back on Monday. Pete Medhurst is in studio.
I am right here, present and accounted for.
Much appreciate all of you listening. Looking forward to talking to John Clayton at 11 o'clock. I grew up watching John Clayton break down football on ESPN as the professor. He was maybe the first kind of Schefter-like presence.
Yeah, I was going to say he was the first guy.
He was the dude. I loved John Clayton. And to this day still, as a 30-plus-year-old now, when he comes on the show, I get jacked up. He now writes, despite being from Seattle, NFL pieces in the Washington Post. One came out overnight. That's in the paper today. His preview of eight different major storylines in the NFL. So we'll talk to him in 55 minutes at 12:45 today. We do have tickets to see the Nats play the Dodgers in an upcoming series at Nationals Park. Speaking of the Nats, they have a massive four-game set starting with Atlanta tonight at 10:30. We will get into that. Where shall we start, you ask? Closing in on training camp for the Redskins, Nats, Braves tonight. So much going on in the NFL. Actually want to start where our show ended yesterday in the 1 o'clock hour. A lot of people still talking about our interview with Steve Buckants, and if you missed it, don't do it now. Listen to the live show. It's available for you on demand, though. When you'd like to later today at some point at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio, go back and listen to one of the most raw, candid, honest, emotional interviews probably that we've had here on the show and on the station in a while. Buckants, he was just incredibly forthright, but if you didn't feel while listening to that interview, I don't know what to tell you.
That was the thing that struck me as most people who were listening to it, as they responded on Facebook and Twitter and things of that nature, was that was the word that kept coming up, the emotion. And, you know, people saying you're not human if you didn't have a tear in your eye listening, you know, to some of his answers. Because, you know, look, it's genuine emotion from Buck, because as we documented, he's given so much of his life to that franchise. Specifically, this is a guy that at his peak, Grant, when he was at Fox 5, he could have easily probably moved on to Fox Network, maybe gotten involved in their NFL rotation on Sundays. And while that does pay okay, you're not going to make enough money doing, you know, seven or eight NFL games for your entire season. Instead, he chose to make a commitment to the Wizards and to that franchise.
As a local guy.
As a local guy.
From the area.
And he bought in hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, he's been here for 22 years calling those games. By the way, I was in touch last night with Justin Kutcher, who is the new voice and face of Wizards basketball, was hired this week. He's expected to be on the show tomorrow at 11 a.m., so we'll get to know him a little bit. We'll meet with him for the first time. Over the air on the phone, it's radio, we could do that. So that'll be, I think, something worth listening to, and that'll be interesting to hear how he plans on what is not going to be an easy start to his run here as he replaces a legend and fills the shoes of a guy that is beloved. But I bring up Buckants, Pete, not because I wanted to delve back into the Wizards' decision. I think we covered that quite a bit yesterday. But it got me thinking last night. I'm sitting at my house, and I was thinking about the guys that I've loved over the years. Frank Herzog, long gone as the voice of the Washington Redskins. Baseball-wise, the first guy that I really put on that pedestal was Michael Regei. Track, wall, see you later on home team sports with the Orioles. And, I mean, it's been a decade and change since I've heard his voice on a baseball broadcast. The times are changing. No more Steve Buckants. So it got me to thinking, who now are the legends in DC sports broadcasting? Like, who are the guys or girls in this market that you say, do not take blank away from me? You've taken Buck Ants. You've taken Herzog. You know, George Michael, unfortunately, is no longer with us. George Michaels. I'm trying to think of other guys like through the years. I mean, and even before my time, you're looking at like Glenn Brenner and Warner Wolf and some of those types. But who's left now as the sports icons in this city? I know times are changing. In the same way, Pete, we don't really have, you know, we're never going to have an Edward R. Murrow again. Like, the days of here's a news person that in a time of crisis in this country, we all gather around the TV and we need to know what they're saying and how they're running the story, those days are gone. And you don't really have that person anymore. Who would it be? Lester Holt? I mean, before his controversy, Brian Williams? I think locally it's the same way. But who's left now? The one guy I came up with is Joe Beninati.
Well, I mean, in terms of length of time, Joe Beninati, Dave Johnson has been the Wizards radio voice for a long time and has all obviously been synonymous with you know, WTOP Radio and DC United. So he has had longevity as well. But you know, Charlie and Dave. I mean, you know, I can't think of one Nationals fan that would want Charlie and Dave off of a Nationals broadcast right now. And I think we sleep on that, but that franchise now, what, you know, been here since 2005. So there is now some cachet with the Nationals as a franchise. Can't imagine Nationals fans
grown up listening to them. In other words, that's maybe the best radio broadcast
in
the country.
Young Nationals fans have, certainly, but
yeah, if you're 17, I guess. But what I'm saying is, like, those guys are among the best play-by-play voices in the country for baseball. And I think our radio broadcast for the Nationals spoils us rotten.
Absolutely.
They're incredible. I'm talking about another level of, you know, people who your entire life you have watched, you have listened to, you know, on that level of, like, George Michaels has an appearance somewhere and 1,000 people are going to
come because he's there. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Local TV sports has been de-emphasized so much. You know, you're talking maybe 2 hours, 2 minutes, 15 seconds for the local TV person. You know, you mentioned it. We don't have the George Michael, the Glenn Brenner, the Tim Brandt. We don't have those guys who at one point were making significant cash because they were must-see TV on the local newscast. I even look at the news portion, a guy like Jim Vance. We don't have a Jim Vance. We don't have a Gordon Peterson anymore out there. And it's the same thing sports-wise. I mean, there's just not there isn't one of those guys that everybody goes, wow, I've got to go see that guy. And perhaps I think the only guys that could even do that right now are Joe B, Dave, and Charlie and Dave, baseball-wise. That might be it.
Yeah. Joe B and Locker, I think, are the list, to be honest with you, for me.
Well, and because of the success of the franchise and everything that goes all into that complete package, you're probably not wrong. But I mean, I do believe there is something there, though, having experienced it now. I do believe there is something there for Charlie and Dave as well on the baseball side.
Be curious to take some thoughts on this, get some calls on this. 800-636-1067. I'm getting a lot of tweets with different broadcasters in town who are good. I'm not asking you who does a great broadcast. That's not my point here. Charlie and Dave are outstanding. And maybe, I mean, if you're a certain age, maybe you grew up with them. The Nats just got going in 2005. Now, Charlie was here in year one, so if you're a diehard baseball fan, I guess that would qualify. But my point is kind of larger than that. If we're talking about, like, Mount Rushmores of D.C. broadcasting legends right now, who cracks that list with the Herzog and the Buck Ants types that are gone?
Are you talking strictly play-by-play? Because clearly no. The Junkies would be in that category.
Junkies could be in the conversation. I'm not talking play-by-play. I'm thinking
the Junkies. That, local Junkies been television. Doing that 22 years.
I think that is actually fair. The Junkies probably are in the mix because, you know, again, there's a longevity to that that goes back to the 90s. It's got to be more than longevity, though, I think, because you could have been at it for a long, long time, and you may not have the same footprint in terms of the overall significance in the market. I just think what we lost yesterday in Buck Ants was a big blow. And I think that that's a dwindling category
but
now.
But he might be, you could also say, maybe he is the last link to that lineage of George Michael and Glenn Brenner and Tim Brandt and all the guys that we had at one time that were, as I said, there was a time where local TV sports had to be a must-see. But the invention of Comcast Sportsnet, now NBC Sports Washington, on a local sports perception, the creation of 106.7 The Fan as an all-sports station.
10 years ago this weekend.
Has also been another outlet for people now to get their sports constantly 24/7. So therefore, the local TV sports report, not necessarily
but that,
as
we're
big
only 10
on the local
years
TV.
Old. We're kind of a baby. The Junkies predate the station here in Washington, D.C.
Right. That's what I said. They've been doing it 22 years.
Twice as long as the station. 800-636-1067. I don't know if people are quite grasping this yet, but I'm not asking you to name good broadcasters. That's not really what I want.
I mean, Johnny Holiday is clearly an institution with
Johnny Holiday is a good
most one of the most identifiable people in this market.
800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 is how you can get a hold of us on Grant and Danny. Steve Buck Ants is out, one of the longest running institutions in this town. Of the DC broadcasting legends, kind of who's left from that tier, that quality of longtime significant face of DC sports. You're listening to The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you back, Pete Medhurst in for Danny today. We're trying to figure out who's left of the class of some of the, you know, the great legendary DC sports voices of all time. And I don't necessarily mean voice in terms of pipes and play-by-play broadcasters. How about columnists, right? You know, Jerry Brewer does a hell of a job in the Post. Love having him on the show. Barry Sfarluga is one of the best baseball writers, I think, that we've got going at this point in the country. We have the opportunity to have him on here on 106.7 The Fan a lot. He writes in the Post. But, like, is there even an opportunity anymore for a new Kornheiser, for a new Wilbon, for a TV star in local sports like George Michael was or Rennie Knott was? It just seems like those days are over, like times have changed, and another one of the few, the proud, the last of a, for lack of a better phrase, a dying breed, left us yesterday. I've got Joe B. and Craig Lachlan as kind of the last remaining of the institution here in D.C. sports. Does anyone else deserve to be on that list? And it could be any medium. It could be writing. It could be voiced or televised. Doesn't matter. But people that you think are among the most important longtime sports faces or voices in this market.
I think you sleep on Johnny Holiday, but Johnny, the power of the Maryland alumni base and everything, Johnny Holiday would still gravitates people there. He's been doing their game since 1979.
Johnny Holiday, I think, is a great answer. I really do. Johnny Holiday, because of how long he's been around, how beloved he is, how recognizable his voice is, and not to mention Johnny Holiday in addition to the Terps, because I've never really been a big Maryland sports fan as a Virginia guy. That satisfies basically one-third of the DMV is kind of problematic in the conversation. He also was instrumental in Nationals coverage for years and years and years. But he's an all-timer. I mean, I think
did some Senators stuff back in the day.
Did he really?
When Ted Williams was the manager. He actually used to host pregame stuff.
I think Johnny Holiday, who's a D.C. Sports Hall of Famer, is absolutely in that discussion. I think that's a really good answer. 800-636-1067. But think about that, too, and chime in on that as well when I kind of pivot this to the columnist side of things. Like, are those days over? Can you even have a Kornheiser, a Wilbon, a George Michael, a Steve Buckants? Is Justin Kutcher in 22 years in today's industry, in this market, in this time, Is he even capable of getting to that level of the romanticism that we have for Buck Ants in a changing medium when everyone's on their phone and getting information in a different way? Let's go to John in Alexandria. What's up, John?
Hey, Grant, Pete, thanks for having me. I was going to say Ron Weber, but, you know, he was pre-Rock the Red and radio, but Ron Weber was the voice of the Caps forever. I think he was there long enough to be there for Ovi's introduction and that, but certainly wasn't there for the Rock the Red era.
But, John, I'm talking about currently, right now. You're making the point that I'm making, which is that's someone in the past that we had that was on this level. I'm saying it's 2019. Is it possible to create a new Buck Ants? Is it possible, if you grow up here and you live here, like people like me, my entire life's goal has always been to end up being a Buck Ants or a Herzog or somebody like that. I'm not sure that it's possible. I don't think if I spend my entire life for young people, Pete, you've spent your life in this market.
Yep.
Can we get to that level? You're referencing a person that a 30-year-old listener to this station or 25-year-old listener to this station may not even know. I think that kind of makes my point. Let's go to Chudy in D.C. What's up, Chudy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I mean, I have to agree that I don't know whether or not we can have the, you know, the level of a Buck Ants again in D.C. just simply because, you know, how, I guess, prolific sports medium has become in, like, the recent years, you know. But I think that when you give it time and when somebody can, like, if they really care about the region, if they really care about, you know, D.C. sports and, you know, the community, you can have somebody like a Buck Ants or a Phil Chenier. And even though he wasn't a sports analyst per se, I mean, no longer having Buck Ants and Phil is like hitting me as hard as when Jim Vance passed away, because he was easily as iconic to at least being a Redskins fan and being that core to the D.C. community. So, of course, I wouldn't sell yourself short. I mean, I guess in 10 years, maybe you can reach that level too. I mean, I listen to you every day.
Well, I appreciate it. It's nice of you to say I'm not so sure, but I appreciate the thought and the comment. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Doug in Remington. Doug, how are you?
Hey, guys. You made me wonder how long Sonny Jurgensen has been in the broadcast booth for Redskin games. I sure do miss Frank, Sonny, and Sam, but how long has Sonny been doing that?
I would think close to like 40 years if I had to
guess.
It's
at least late 70s because he was clearly part of the radio team in the 82 Super Bowl. So he's been doing the radio portion a long time.
He might be in the discussion. I mean, at this point, frankly, it's a tough listen. I'm just going to call it what it is. You know, I got to be honest. He probably shouldn't be in the booth at this juncture. But he's Sonny Jurgensen. You know, when I was 10 in my car and I turned on the radio and it was Sonny, Sam, and Frank, that was Sonny. So, yeah, he might be among the folks in the discussion.
Because he did network TV with CBS, because I think he did some games. He was doing some games, I think, with like Vin Scully as part of the CBS package in the mid-70s before he took over the Redskins gig. So I think he got the Redskins gig specifically late 70s.
Let's go to Kevin in Leesburg on the Fan. Kevin, anybody left now? I said Joe Bianlocker that you would add to the convo. And this is an indictment on some of our great broadcasters. I think we have one of the best radio broadcast teams in the country, and Dave and Charlie, the issue I'm having here is if you're talking about guys who have been here 20 plus years as institutions, it seems like it's a dwindling number.
And Grant, first of all, I don't know why everybody says thanks for taking my call, but thanks for taking my call. And Grant, there is no one else. There is. With the social media, with like you just said, if I went to sports school to the Dodger game, I hit my phone, and guess what? I've got it. You know, I got the game passed on. There is none. You don't hear, you will never, ever hear, touchdown Washington Redskins, you know? And you know that's Frank Hurt. I get goosebumps thinking about that, you know, what it was, Prince and Tony. And they were a tremendous combination. You won't have that. You just don't have it.
Well, and think about, like, local television, right? I mean, I remember as a kid during training camp every day at 5:40, I would have to turn on and I would bounce around 4, 5, 7, 9. If you were lucky, you could time it up. You could catch three of them for a minute at a time or so. But it was 4 or 5 minutes of sports, and it was all these people who brought you your sports every night. And maybe there are still a lot of people that watch local TV in that way. I don't know how many my age do, but by the time, let's say 5:40 in the evening or whatever time sports is on now rolls around, I'm up to speed. I've read all the stories. I've even seen the videos. I've seen the press conference live. I don't necessarily need that anymore. That's just one medium. Radio, we're in real time, which is great. We're reacting to breaking news, but all these mediums are changing. 800-636-1067. You got a thought, you want to hop in. John Clayton, he has continued to roll with the punches over the years. That's a guy who's evolved time after time, an original institution at ESPN. He wrote a piece in the Post yesterday about the NFL. He's going to join us at 11. Grant and Danny with Pete in for Danny on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Grant and Danny with Pete hanging out for Danny today on 106.7 The Fan. We'll wrap up this discussion here, starting where we ended yesterday. Talked to Steve Buckantz on this show. It was a fantastic conversation. He couldn't have been more candid. It was pretty raw and emotional. If you missed the interview, you can go to thefandc.com. And we're expected to discuss the future of the broadcast with his replacement, Justin Kutcher, tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on G&D, but we are discussing right now and talking about D.C. broadcasting legends. Guys like Frank Herzog, long gone now, hasn't called a Redskins game in over a decade at this point. And Steve Buckantz, the latest after Phil Chenier to no longer be a fixture in D.C. sports night in and night out calling games or just being a part of, at least for the moment, the fabric. That's a dying breed, it seems like, and we don't replace those guys with up-and-comers necessarily, so we're looking for your suggestions on who is left of the people whose voices really matter in this town.
Do you know how much of an influence? Frank Herzog came and spoke at my Board of Education in Anne Arundel County when I was 16, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, and I was the one of the only people that stuck around afterwards, and I just picked his brain and picked his brain and picked his brain. But, you know, when Navy scores a touchdown, it's touchdown. Navy midshipman.
Right.
You know why? Because it used to be touchdown, Washington Redskins. So that influence.
Jim in Great Falls. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So I was originally going to say Johnny Holiday, but you guys stole my thunder. But when you brought up the junkies, I have to say, if you're going to talk radio hosts, it's got to be Andy Poland. There's nobody more who's a part of the D.C. sports fabric than Andy.
Hey, he was an original sports radio in D.C. guy, has been around for a long, long time, and now recently at a few different places. But yeah, Andy Poland is, if you're talking about longevity on the air in the radio market here, he's been around for a long time. Let's go to Rob in D.C. Hey, Rob.
Hey, thanks a lot. I kind of agree with everybody on everything that's been said already, but to your point about going to different mediums, Tom Boswell, columnist in the Washington Post, he's iconic, if anybody is in this town.
So Tom Boswell's a good one. And Pete and I were actually talking about Boswell a couple minutes ago. Boz has been around forever, and I actually talked to him a couple of minutes at Camden Yards the other day before O's Nats, and I still get that feeling when I talk to him, like, you walk away and you go, damn, I just talked to Tom Boswell about baseball for a couple of minutes. He's got that aura about him. I think you have to be older than me to appreciate necessarily the greatness of Tom Boswell, like when, again, columnists were on just a different level than they are.
Like me, I'm older than you. I skipped first grade because I had a ability to read off the charts and went to 4 days of first grade. They moved me to second, and it's because when I was 4 years old, I was reading the Washington Post sports section. Mm-hmm. And as I grew up, and I was just telling you off air, you know, when they had at one point, they had dudes on beats like Kornheiser, Wilbon, Feinstein, Ken Denlinger. Ken Denlinger is as good an NFL guy as the Washington Post has ever had covering the Redskins. David Dupree, who was covering the Bullets in the championship season of 77-78. I mean, it was a who's who It may have been, at that time, the greatest sports section in the history of newspapers with the talent that they had at one point at the Washington Post, because from the lowest beat writer all the way to the best columnist, it was a who's who of talented people.
Boswell, I don't think it's really in question. As far as sports voices in the Post right now, is the most credentialed with the longest tenured, biggest resume, and probably the most revered. As far as baseball goes, I think Barry Svrluga will be the next Boswell in a lot of ways. Where in 25 years or so, I'll be telling people, yeah, I was there when Barry covered the Nats when they broke in, and his columns mattered a lot when they were deciding what they were going to do with Davey Martinez. And Boswell is kind of, you know, a Barry when he gets to that level at this point. When he talks about baseball, when he writes about baseball, people pay attention. Tom, Point of Rocks. I've never heard of that. I don't know what that means. What's up?
Hey, how you doing today? Point of Rocks is just about halfway between Frederick and Leesburg, on right on the Potomac River.
Is it a neighborhood or like a town, or is it like one specific location, like where you hang out and watch planes fly?
It's a little railroad town. It's a little railroad station town, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as they build houses, houses, houses.
Right off Route 15.
All right.
Yep, well,
Tom
exactly.
says he drove through it to get to my wedding in Leesburg, which is hilarious. Go ahead.
I got two for you. One was already mentioned. For me, Thomas Boswell is one of the greatest baseball writers I've ever read, and he also is excellent at covering other sports. Fantastic columnist. And the other guy, I can't believe anybody hasn't mentioned him, when you talk Capitals, Al Koken is the longest tenured broadcaster out there right now.
Smoke and Al's got to be absolutely in the discussion in this regard. He called Caps games. He has been with the Caps since the earliest days of almost any of our listeners watching that team. And I remember just being a part of that coverage in a very minimal capacity when they made their cup run two seasons ago. I was happiest for Joe B., for Locker, and for Al Koken. You know, other guys like Alan May, who have been at it for many, many years and played for the team before that. But Smoke and Al Koken, you want to talk about radio? He's done that. Television, he does it. He is, you think Caps when you think of Al Koken, but he's done more than that.
I mean, he's outlasted a lot of dudes. I mean, Jeff Rimmer, Mike Forns. Mm-hmm. He's worked with a lot of different guys on the TV side through the years, and certainly has had some stability, at least, with Joe B. and Locker here through the years.
I'll say this. It was now 21 years ago. When I got my start, I was just lucky, and I was a little kid, and I got to do some cool sports things. But when I was 10 years old, and I would have different people from the D.C. market on the different things I was doing to talk sports, one of the people I would hit up was Al Koken.
Yep.
And he would answer. Pat in Mechanicsville, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, the previous caller just stole my thunder. I had Al Koken, and I kind of like John Thompson.
So John Thompson's an interesting one. He's not current in any way, though. John Thompson is not locally involved in any projects that I know of. He occasionally will call games on a national level on the radio and things like that. I listened to his radio show like a lot of people did for a long time. There was a point in time when that was a really, really good radio show early on as well, when he was grinding and putting in a lot of work.
He had access to some unbelievable guests because of who he was.
To me, that was the key to that show. You know, you want a college basketball guest, or pretty much it didn't matter, any sport.
Tiger Woods would consistently come on with him.
John Thompson's hosting the show. People are going to be on the show. But nowadays, I'm not sure when the last time I've heard him in a media capacity in D.C. is. So I don't know that he'd qualify for what we're talking about as far as current people that still have a voice and still matter. Let's go to Kenny in Mechanicsville.
The one for the Redskins that I love listening to and I got to hear his opinion on is Brian Mitchell.
B-Mitch, who's all over NBC Sports Washington at this point, and I'd say is probably known as the most candid kind of meat-on-the-bone analyst on television right now that there is, if you've got to just eviscerate the Redskins after they do something. He's got the ability as a former player to kind of say whatever he wants in a way that a lot of people probably are afraid to in this market.
Well, I mean, clearly his results as a player speak for themselves, so it lends more credibility to his ability to be critical of the team when that happens. And I think former players respect that because of what Brian accomplished as a player. I mean, he's second all-time in all-purpose yards in the history of the league.
I think a lot of that one has to do with his playing days, too. Good phone calls. Appreciate the discussion. Just something to chew on, something to think about. As I was sitting at home last night, reading a couple of the goodbye pieces to Steve Buckants. Times are changing. The industry is changing, and I'm just not sure how many more Buckantses we'll have. Joby and Locker right now are kind of the last that we've got of that ilk, of that level, cut from that cloth. Next on Grant and Danny, Brandon Scherff still hasn't gotten a contract. Will he get one before the start of the season? You might be surprised at where this negotiation is at right now with the Redskins. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Pete Medhurst is in today. Danny's going to be back from vacation on Monday. He's been at the Outer Banks. You know his vacation. He reads, sits on the beach, he eats and drinks. I don't know if he drinks, but he eats. And hopefully he'll gain a lot of weight so we can play a little how much weight did Danny gain when he gets back. John Clayton's going to join us. Wrote a piece on 8 stories to monitor start a training camp in the NFL for the Washington Post. He'll be on the show at 11. A lot of people right now have been updating the Brandon Scherff quest for a contract with items, including Aaron Hawksworth, who, among other outlets, hosts shows here for us on 106.7 The Fan. She reported a couple days ago that the Redskins had made multiple offers to Brandon Scherff and that the two sides are still far apart. Scherff's going to make $12.5 million this year on the 5th year of his rookie deal. The Redskins picked up his final 5th-year option, so they'll pay him the $12-plus million this year. His franchise tag for next year, if they can't get a deal done, would pay him about $15 million, which would make him one of the highest-paid guards in the league if they wanted to keep him around, didn't want him to hit the market. You don't really see many guards get franchise tagged, though. Which brings us to my big question on Brandon Scherff, which is, he is an elite player. He's a tremendous talent. He'll make the Pro Bowl more seasons than he doesn't for the rest of his career. He was well on his way to making the Pro Bowl again this year before an injury. But are you willing to pay top dollar, huge money to the guard position? A spot that Mike Shanahan, as an example, just didn't really value. He once said when I was sitting in his office, well, it's just the guard position. We can figure that out. I mean, Jay Gruden doesn't think that differently. Remember, when talking about his draft history in Washington and what had been acquired for him in the first round, he said, basically, we got a receiver that can't stay healthy and a guard, as if it was just some position that doesn't matter. Teams view the tackle spot as more important. The guard position is way less significant. But guards are now getting $15, $16, $17 million a year, which is crazy to think about, but that's where we are. Do you pay a guy and keep him around who you've developed, you've groomed, you drafted him? Go back to Scott McLuhan's first draft with the Redskins. His first pick at number 5 off the board came the big fella from Iowa.
With the 5th pick in the 2015 NFL draft, the Washington Redskins select Brandon Scherff, tackle.
Just looks like one of those Iowa linemen. You know, that to come in, he looks mean. He can play a bunch of positions up there. And so his versatility and his pro readiness, if that's the right word, to come from Iowa. You like this pick for, I think you know the coach, your brother?
This pick makes me want to coach again, Lewis.
Nice.
He is a physical, nasty tone setter.
And he has been physical, and he has been nasty, and he has set the tone. And he's played 4 seasons now. A couple of injury issues last couple of years, Pete. But Brandon Scherff's one of the best guards in the league. You hit a home run on this pick. Don't you have to try to keep him?
Here's the comp. Zach Martin, like Brandon Scherff, terrific tackle at Notre Dame, transitions to guard in the NFL, $14 million on that $84 million deal with the Cowboys. So there's your comp right there. If Martin is in that area of $14 million, then the franchise tender and that area, I think you would have to start a new contract with him in the $14 to $15 million annual value range.
You willing to pay a guard that money?
Look, we've seen issues with this offensive line. If you have, you mentioned it. You mentioned the word a moment ago. If you feel he is an elite player, then you have to pay him. If you think he's a very good player, then you can start searching for a replacement maybe if you think it's too expensive. But if you feel he's elite, then you have to pay him.
So I'm paying him, and I'm giving him the Martin-type contract. I think Zach Martin, looking it up, got 6 and 84. his cap numbers with the Cowboys. This year, $14 million. Next year, $15 million. In fact, two straight years at $15 million. Eventually, mm-hmm. it jumps up to about $16 million. And then at the end of his deal, 23-24, in 2023-2024, he's going to be down around $13.5 million as a cap hit per year in his age 32 and age 33 seasons. I would sign something like that for sure right now, and here's why. I am in the business of taking care of my own. I'm in the business of drafting, hitting on the draft pick, and keeping that guy in my building. Now, if the player's not particularly good, Josh Doctson, I don't need to keep him around. But this is how it's supposed to work. I drafted a guy who I thought could play at a Pro Bowl level. He's now an annual Pro Bowl talent. He is, when he's healthy, one of the best guards in football. You can tell me the position's not that important, but I'll tell you what is the offensive line. The teams that are winning in this league, I don't care if it's pass pro or run blocking, have really successful, consistent, good, durable offensive lines. You saw the headline in Pro Football Talk on the Scherff negotiation was, will Brandon Scherff be the latest Redskins draft pick to get paid by another team? And that's happened a lot less often and with less frequency over the last couple of years, guys like Jamison Crowder or Trent Murphy, than previously, because they signed Trent Williams. They signed Ryan Kerrigan. They kept some of their studs around. Scherff is one of those guys. This, to me, is a debate of, is he a stud? Pay him. If he's not, you don't need to. He's a stud. Pay him. I don't think there's a lot more thought to it than that. I know people have their nits to pick because it's the guard position. People will still tell you that wasn't the right draft pick or that they shouldn't have taken him at five. I will draft a player who makes seven or eight Pro Bowls, which he's going to do in his career, at number five every time. If he's not a kicker or a punter, it's a win.
Based on what they've drafted, you're expecting Darius Geis to be a significant piece of your puzzle going forward. You're expecting Bryce Love at some point to be a significant part. That means you're going to run the ball. To run the ball, you have to have elite people up front. Trent Williams has been an elite player. You just said it. You think Brandon Scherff's an elite player. If you think he's elite, you sign him. The other guys you mentioned, guys like Trent Murphy, Jamison Crowder, not elite. Decent. Better than average in terms of Jamison Crowder, but not elite.
Not to mention, how about this? Trent Williams at left tackle. Some uncertainty about his future, right? Left guard position.
Well, I was going to say, what the hell have we complained about for the last couple of years? Who's playing left guard?
Exactly.
Left guard.
Well, it's only guard. It doesn't matter. Fast forward to Sunday. How much does it matter?
Eric Flowers at left guard. I mean, that's we're sitting here. That's how much that position has deteriorated for the Redskins. We're talking about playing a guy like Eric Flowers at left guard.
You don't have a left guard that you trust, not just for the future, but for this year. Trent Williams may or may not show up to training camp or the preseason. We're not even really sure what his status is for this year, your marquee left tackle. Your center, I thought, came a long way and seems like a pretty good player in Chase Roullier, but is not proven yet to be a standout or an answer for 7 or 8 years. I just think he's on a trajectory that looks pretty good. Your right tackle, Morgan Moses, solid player. You did re-sign him, another of the draft picks that you gave a contract to, which I liked before you had to, but he gets banged up a lot. Brandon Scherff is really, to me, a key to this whole thing being a foundation and a strong structure for the next couple of years.
So we were praising the Cowboys and the running game they have because they made a commitment to those guys on the offensive line.
John Clayton wrote a piece in the Post about eight big stories in the NFL going into the start of training camp. He's going to join us next. We'll ask him about paying guards top-tier money. Top of the hour next right here on Grant and Danny. Guys, I've been telling you about Window Nation because I've got a personal experience with them that went brilliantly. I needed new windows. I needed new doors. I made the call. My energy bills got lower, more efficient home than I ever had before. My house got more aesthetically pleasing, prettier from the outside, and I got a tax credit. I got to tell you, I figured out how they had an A-plus rating in the Better Business Bureau right away when they went room to room and I wasn't interrupted. You know, it was a one-day project to get a bunch of things done, and they didn't leave a screw on the floor. I suddenly was one of the 10,000 people leaving a positive online review. I got a lifetime warranty like you will as well. Right now, they got a great deal. Buy one window, get one free without a limit. As many as you buy, you get that many free. Plus, 0, 0, 0. No down payment, no interest, no payments for 24 full months. That is 2 years. Call them today at 866-90-NATION and see why they're trusted by over 150,000 homeowners, including me. 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com.
right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.